The challenge is that most people who are like fatigued and brain fogged and who have been under stress for a long amount of time, they actually might not have high cortisol. They might have cortisol in the right amounts, but it's released at the wrong times of day. Or they might have cortisol that just is not released in, you know, healthy enough amounts. And they might have a state known as hypocortisolemia, where they just have very low levels of cortisol. Sometimes this is called burnout, where they're doing exercise and rather than it giving them energy or helping them feel more relaxed, they just find it exhausting. And they are like, well, if I do exercise, I have to recover for 3 days.
If you haven't done so already, go ahead and click that subscribe button down below. It's a little red button. You punch that and it's going to notify you every time we put out a new episode that can help you improve your bone health. And then also, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com, sign up for the free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart. That's going to walk you through everything you need to be doing right now to get on the path to improvement and stronger bones. After you do those two things, go ahead and press play on this episode and I'll see you inside. Welcome to this episode of the Bone Coach Show. Joining us today to explore your adrenals, your thyroid, and their connection to your health and your bones is Dr. Isabella Wentz. Dr. Isabella Wentz is a compassionate, innovative, solution-focused integrative pharmacist dedicated to finding the root causes of chronic health conditions. Her passion stems from her own diagnosis with Hashimoto's thyroiditis in 2009, following a decade of debilitating symptoms. As an accomplished author, Dr. Wentz has written several best-selling books, including the New York Times bestseller, Hashimoto's Thyroiditis, Lifestyle Interventions for Finding and Treating the Root Cause, the protocol-based number one New York Times bestseller, Hashimoto's Protocol, a 90-day plan for reversing thyroid symptoms and getting your life back, and the Wall Street Journal bestseller, Hashimoto's Food Pharmacology, Nutrition Protocols, and Healing Recipes to Take Charge of Your Thyroid Health. Her latest book, Adrenal Transformation Protocol, is set to be released on April 18th, 2023. The book focuses on resetting the body's stress response through targeted safety signals and features a 4-week program that has already helped over 3,500 individuals. The program has an impressive success rate with over 80% of participants improving their brain fog, fatigue, anxiety, irritability, sleep issues, and libido. Dr. Isabella Wentz, it is great to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Kevin. It's such a pleasure to be here with you.
I'm looking forward to this. You know, I've known about your work for such a long time. A big fan of everything that you've done and how many people you've helped along the way with, especially with thyroid issues and now adrenal issues. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation today. And I first want to start out with, you know, a lot of people know you as the thyroid pharmacist, right? Have you always been interested in thyroid health?
I definitely was not interested in thyroid health during pharmacy school. I thought thyroid conditions were super boring. There was just, you know, like kind of you give people medications and there's just like one main medication that you would give. And I didn't realize how important the thyroid gland was until I was diagnosed myself with a thyroid condition after I was already a pharmacist. And when I realized that the 10 years of just really challenging health symptoms I had were related to the autoimmune attack on my thyroid gland. And so this is how I became a thyroid expert / human guinea pig, was finding out that I had a thyroid condition and realizing that thyroid medications only made me feel a little bit better. And then I still had a whole host of symptoms that were related to the autoimmune thyroid condition that I still needed to address. And so I was able to get myself into remission and get rid of like the brain fog, fatigue, get rid of all of the hair loss and the excess weight and the sluggishness and cold intolerance and my whole really long laundry list of symptoms. And then I went on to share what worked for me so that I could help others heal as well.
That's beautiful. And that's such a great story, because that's how so many of us in the health space got started, is we have our own health journeys that lead us to this path of purpose and passion and helping all these other people with the same conditions. And Maybe for those who are not too familiar, if we could, I definitely want to talk about your new book that's coming out and the adrenal health as well. But maybe for those who are not familiar for thyroid even, could we just give an overview of, you know, what thyroid is, why it's important, and maybe how might we know if we have issues there?
Sure. So our thyroid gland is this tiny little gland that sits at the base of our neck. And it's a butterfly shaped gland. It produces thyroid hormones that impact just about every single cell in the body. And some of the ways that the thyroid gland has been described is our metabolism center of our body. So the thyroid gland is what decides to help us generate heat, to convert our food into energy. And when the thyroid gland isn't working properly, we can end up with a whole host of symptoms. For people with an underactive thyroid, which tends to be more common, end up having hair loss, brain fog, fatigue. They might have a puffy face. They might have loss of their upper third of the eyebrows. That's pretty diagnostic. They're going to be cold intolerant. Their metabolism is going to be sluggish. So they're going to be the people that are like, I've been eating the same thing that I've than normally eating, doing the same amount of exercise, but I'm just putting on extra weight. Like, where did this extra weight come from? And, you know, depending on what age they are, typically younger people will tend to get diagnosed with mental health symptoms earlier on in their healing journey. So people in their late teens and 20s, they might say like, I have depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, and they'll be placed on antidepressants. And then people, women typically in their 30s will say, I am having fertility challenges. What's going on? And then they'll be, gone down the rabbit hole of that when really it could be a thyroid disorder. And then women that as they get into the menopause age, they might find that, you know, that's when they have more of the classical thyroid symptoms of like the sluggishness, the hair loss, the extra weight, especially, you know, around their belly. And some of the cold intolerance. But I guess one of the things that I'm really passionate about is figuring out what if you have a thyroid condition in the early stages, because many times doctors can miss the early stages of thyroid disease. And this can go on for 10, 15, 20 years when a person is having a ton of symptoms that impact their lifestyle. And they'll have, all kinds of misdiagnosis, mental health diagnosis. They can have multiple miscarriages, trouble conceiving. And it's just super heartbreaking because sometimes it's just like the inflammation, the autoimmune inflammation that's causing and impacting the thyroid gland that can cause so much damage. And yet it gets missed so frequently.
And how do you spot that early? What are the tests that you look at? I mean, especially for maybe it's, you know, the person that's listening to this now, that's the woman in their 50s or 60s or 70s or something like that. Or maybe they're listening and their daughter or their, you know, somebody else that they know is experiencing these things. How do you find out?
Sure. So doctors will typically test a person's TSH when they have they suspect that a person has a thyroid issue. And this is a test that is an indirect measure of thyroid hormones. So it responds, the TSH will rise if we don't have enough thyroid hormones on board, if the body kind of senses that. Now, whole host of reasons why there might be a disconnect there, but in very advanced cases of Hashimoto's hypothyroidism, that TSH will be elevated. Generally, I consider anything above a 2 to be suspect for thyroid disease. Now, the reference ranges have changed over the years. People would say like, okay, you know, TSH of 8 is still considered normal, or a TSH of 5 is considered normal, where the recent reference ranges have been adjusted to up to 4.5. From a functional medicine standpoint, I generally like to see women somewhere between 0.5 and 2. Sometimes older women, perhaps 2.5 and 3 might be a comfortable place for them. But I will say when I was in my 20s, my TSH was 4.5, considered normal. I was super sluggish. I was like a sloth, sleeping 12 hours a night. My hair was falling out. I had carpal tunnel and all of these classical thyroid symptoms. Other than I actually didn't gain a ton of weight. I was about 10, 15 pounds overweight. But this is like one of the tests that you do. And usually the doctors will only order this test, but this test will be elevated when you've had thyroid condition for about 10 years at least. And the other tests that will find it early are thyroid antibody tests. So TPO antibodies and TG antibodies are an indication that the immune system has recognized the thyroid gland as a foreign invader. And whenever these tests are elevated, they've been correlated with multiple miscarriages. They've been correlated with like the anxiety and all of the kind of mental health, quote unquote, symptoms, as well as, you know, the weight gain and the cold intolerance and so on and so forth. So I always advocate for doing those tests and then free T3 and free T4, which actually look at the levels of thyroid hormone in, you know, in your body that can do their thing and bind receptors. And then another test that I oftentimes will recommend for women who are menstruating as well as postmenopausal women is ferritin. So ferritin is an iron storage protein, and this is how our body carries thyroid hormone into our cells. When that's low, this could interfere with how we receive our thyroid hormone. And then in women, postmenopausal women, this can actually be elevated, and this can be over-inflammatory in the body.
And what about reverse T3?
Reverse T3 is also a great test that I will sometimes recommend for people who maybe don't have a thyroid condition, but they have some of the thyroid symptoms. Reverse T3 is usually an indication for me that somebody either has low ferritin or that they have adrenal issues, which, you know, we'll talk about. So part of what I do with my clients is if they have a thyroid issue or if they have thyroid symptoms, I'm always going to say, we're going to test your ferritin and we're going to address your adrenal function. And so sometimes that reverse T3 piece is helpful, but usually I'm kind of addressing those items anyway. So it's like the test doesn't really change what I'm going to do, but sometimes it's good to have. And especially if you're working with a practitioner and trying to advocate for yourself.
Hey, as Bone Coach Kevin Ellis, I want to take one more minute to talk about if you are somebody who was newly diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis, and you're at a point where you're stressed, you're worried, you're overwhelmed, you have no idea where to start or how to get started getting confident in your plan. Or maybe something has been proposed as an option that you're not ready to go down yet, right? You want to try to do everything you possibly can naturally before considering that as an option. Or if you're the person who has been on this journey for a while, you've tried to figure all these things out on your own when it comes to osteoporosis, but you're still losing bone. If either of those situations is where you're at right now, I want to tell you about the Stronger Bone Solution Program. Over 5,000 people have come through the Stronger Bone Solution Program, and it walks you through the exact process you need to fill in the missing pieces, uncover critical things in your plan that you may not be aware of, and help you make modifications, adjustments, and tweaks to get you to the place where you're building stronger bones. That's what this program can do for you. And it's run for years and helped many, many people. And I want you to be able to benefit from this program as well. So if you're not confident and you're waking up every single day worried about fracture, wondering how am I going to improve my bone health today, I don't want you to be in that position. I want you to get confident in your plan so that you can focus on living life and enjoying the life that you deserve with the people you love most. So if that's where you want to be, head over to bonecoach.com/apply and apply for our Stronger Bone Solution program right now. I'm Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. I want to see you inside this program. I want to help you get on the path to improvement in stronger bones. So go over, submit your application. If we approve your application and it's free to apply, then we'll let you know the next steps to get started in one of those programs. So hope to see you inside very soon. Let's get back to the episode. That's great. And for the average listener who's listening and they hear about your new book that's coming out, we have the thyroid pharmacist who's coming out with the adrenal transformation protocol. And it may seem like to the average person that that's a bit of a departure from your previous work, but we know that there is a connection there between adrenal health and thyroid health. Can you talk about what that connection is?
Absolutely. So I will say that most of the people that I've worked with, probably 90% of the people with thyroid issues, have some degree of adrenal dysfunction, right? And on the flip side, I've had a lot of people come to me who say, I was never diagnosed with a thyroid condition, but yet I have all the thyroid symptoms. And then they're the ones that usually have, they don't have a thyroid disease, they don't have a thyroid diagnosis. All of their thyroid labs are quote unquote normal. Sometimes the reverse T3 might be off, but they actually have an adrenal issue. And this is because our adrenal hormones and our thyroid hormones, and really all the hormones in our body, like talk to each other, and there's a feedback mechanism specifically with the thyroid thyroid hormones and cortisol. When we have too much cortisol and too much perceived stress in the body can produce too much of that reverse T3. And then we end up, this is like the inactive thyroid hormone. So it could bind to thyroid receptors, but rather than like turn them on, it just kind of sits there and it prevents active thyroid hormone from turning on the receptors. So you can feel hypothyroid, even though you might have good levels of thyroid hormone on board, right? And so cortisol, too much stress perception can do that. And then on the flip side, when a person is hypothyroid, when their thyroid gland has been damaged by the immune response and it can't produce enough thyroid hormone for quite some time, the body will compensate for that by keeping more cortisol in our system. So somebody that maybe would have a healthy level of cortisol, the level of cortisol would go up. And somebody who previously had an underactive level of cortisol, their cortisol level might normalize. And so how this presents clinically in people is they'll say, I was feeling really bad. I was feeling off. I was feeling wired and tired and just kind of edgy and awful. Went to the doctor, found out I have a thyroid condition. Thank goodness. I'm so glad I was diagnosed. So I took the thyroid meds, thought they would help everything. I felt a little bit better, but then I kind of felt worse. And what happened? And it's usually because when you normalize that thyroid function, the cortisol clearance also normalizes and you don't have that extra cortisol buffer that maybe made you have, you know, good functioning adrenals, a good functioning stress response. You now unmasked that you had this poor stress response. And so a lot of times I'll say for most people and most people that come to me, I'm sure there are people out there that do just fine on just the medications for thyroid by themselves, but most of them don't come to me. Is most of them do need to address not just their thyroid hormone function, but also their adrenal function and support their stress response.
And that's so important. I mean, we hear about stress all the time for not just our adrenal health, but just our health in general. And even for our bones too, I would just point out that the biggest impacts I think of when we have chronic stress or high cortisol on an ongoing basis, that's going to reduce progesterone production. It's going to reduce the ability of the osteoblast to form bone. It's going to kill osteocytes. These are the orchestrators of the bone remodeling process. So all of these things are going to, you know, work against your bone goals. So I'm really glad that we're talking about this now too. Now, if we could maybe even touch on, can you have adrenal issues even if you don't have thyroid issues?
Absolutely. And typically, you know, just overall, I've had people come to me that are saying, hey, I'm having brain fog and I'm having anxiety. I'm carrying all this extra weight. I feel wired, but tired. I have unrefreshing sleep, can't tolerate stress, constantly overwhelmed. And they kind of name off all these symptoms. And they're like, you know, it kind of does overlap with some thyroid symptoms, right? And they'll say, but I saw your website, or sometimes it's, you know, friends that have known me for some time and they're like, and I got my thyroid tested, but it's not it. What else could it be? And in many of those cases, it's going to be that stress response, that adrenal dysfunction where your body, for whatever reason, is just overwhelmed with too much stress, whether that's like psychological stress or physical stress or hidden inflammatory stress. There's something that's shifting you into survival mode where whatever reason your body senses that there's danger, and you get into that survival world road rather than being, you know, in that thriving state that we're all meant to be in, where we're fixing our bodies, we're repairing our bones, we are, you know, having good energy and a good sense of humor, and we're sleeping well and our brain's working, right? With the place where we all want to be, that kind of relaxed, happy, energetic state, right?
And when you're in, when you do have adrenal dysfunction and issues with cortisol dysregulation, you know, sometimes people get stuck in these routines, like these fitness routines and these diet nutrition routines, and they are very specifically fitness, I would say. They may be pushing themselves really hard and just think like, if I keep going, that's the path. That's the path to better health. Is that the right approach when you have these issues with your adrenals?
So in some cases, certainly exercise can be very helpful, especially if you have like high levels of cortisol, which is the initial response that the body produces to stress. Aerobic exercise has been shown to lower that, right? And that can be incredibly helpful. The challenge is that most people who are like fatigued and brain fogged and who have been under stress for a long amount of time, they actually might not have high cortisol. They might have cortisol in the right amounts, but it's released at the wrong times of day. Or they might have cortisol that just is not released in you know, healthy enough amounts. And they might have a state known as hypocortisolemia, where they just have very low levels of cortisol. Sometimes this is called burnout, where they're doing exercise and rather than it giving them energy or helping them feel more relaxed, they just find it exhausting. And they are like, well, if I do exercise, I have to recover for 3 days. So this is, you know, this is a sign from your body that like, hey, if you do exercise and you feel amazing and more relaxed, great. This is your medicine. You're using the right medicine and the right dose. But if you're doing your exercise and you just feel exhausted after, and even for a few days after, it's like you got the wrong medicine or you got the wrong dose. So we need to switch something up, right?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I know that your own personal story, you had the diagnosis of Hashimoto's, and that's been really an integral part of your approach. But what is your own personal story? I know you have a personal story with adrenal dysfunction too.
Well, I have three stories with adrenal dysfunction. Apparently it took me more than once to kind of learn my lesson. The first time was on my healing journey with Hashimoto's. And I found that I had, you know, I had all these symptoms, and acid reflux and digestive issues were huge for me. And I found that getting off of gluten and dairy were like, holy cow, like I don't have acid reflux anymore. I can get off of my 5 acid reflux meds that weren't working anyway, right? So that was incredibly helpful. But then I was like, but wait, I'm still having some blood sugar swings. I'm still trouble waking up in the morning, that I've got that brain fog. I've got that fatigue, unrefreshing sleep. I'm super like edgy and anxious all the time. And somebody brought up adrenal fatigue to me. And I was like, hey, I was, you know, very skeptical pharmacist, and I had already like taken the plunge of going gluten-free, dairy-free. And that was like, you know, scary enough for me just coming from like a conventional medical training. And then I was like, okay, this doesn't exist. This is what the websites say. And finally I, 15th person brought it up to me, and I was like, okay, I'll look into it. And then I'm like, okay, I have all the symptoms, and it's not adrenal dysfunction, adrenal fatigue. It's not a disease. It's basically what happens, how your body adapts to stress, or I should say probably maladapts to stress. Your body can't handle the stress that you're sending to it from, you know, internally or externally. And so I ended up trying all the things that were recommended, and holy cow, did I feel better. Turns out that like, I don't have an anxiety disorder. Turns out that like, I'm an energetic and calm person. Like that was me that was hiding for the last few years underneath all the symptoms. And, you know, my brain was working again. My sense of humor came back, and I didn't have to sleep for 11 hours to feel, you know, halfway human. So that was kind of my first bout with it. And so at that time I used hormones, DHEA and pregnenolone, glandulars, adaptogens, licorice, some lifestyle changes to really help myself feel better. The second time was after a really big documentary that I came out with in 2017. I had never made a documentary, and I have to say I was very ambitious because I thought it would be, I just didn't know how much work it would take to produce it. And so it took like three times the amount of work than I thought it did. And so really it was overwork and sleep deprivation for me, where I was staying up like till 3 a.m. to try to finish a project for many, many nights. And the way that I recovered from that is I just took a sabbatical for 30 days. I slept for 10 to 12 hours and, you know, like went to Italy, went to the beach and just really decommitted from everything. And that worked really well. And then, you know, that just when you think you have everything figured out, you know, you have children, right? So I ended up having a beautiful boy 5 years ago. And just like most amazing, lovely children, he didn't sleep, right? So I was like, wait a minute. I thought babies were supposed to sleep at 3 months old because I read that in one of these books that they can. I'm like, just because they can doesn't mean that they will, right? And it doesn't even mean that they should. Some of them actually, you know, have smaller tummies or digestive reasons. Their digestive tracts are not fully matured. So to make a long story short, I was 8 months postpartum and my son was still waking up frequently throughout the night. And I was loving being a mom. At the same time, I was like, man, my energy is really low here. I started drinking coffee for the first time, like in my adult life, really. And then I'm like, let's test my adrenals, see what's going on. And I was in like burned out state where my body was barely producing any cortisol. Fastest way to get into this state of sleep deprivation. And I was like, huh, it worked. All this 8 months of sleep deprivation apparently worked, right? And then I was like, but man, I can't do any of the things I did before to heal myself. So I can't use the hormones because I'm nursing. I don't want my baby to grow like chest hair, right? From hormones or whatever, like extra whatever, like no thanks. And then I was like, and the other main thing I used to recommend was sleep. And I'm like, well, obviously sleep would work, but like, obviously I'm taking care of a baby like at night. I can't do that. And then the other thing was I used to recommend, and you know, people were not very happy with me, but I would say quit coffee or quit caffeine if you want to heal your adrenals. And that's been like a mainstay in like the integrative world for so long. And I was like, but no, like coffee didn't cause this. Like coffee is like my drug of choice right now to help me get through this time. And at that point I realized, you know, maybe some of my clients, maybe they didn't have adrenal issues because of all the coffee they were drinking. Maybe they were just self-medicating, right? And maybe there were other inputs into their lives that were causing stress, that if, you know, we could neutralize some of those inputs or just provide more safety inputs, maybe we could shift the balance to kind of get the body out of that survival state into the more thriving state. So I came up with a brand new protocol for myself because I was like, I can't do any of the other things that worked well if you could do them. And then I was able to get myself out of that survival state in like 3 to 4 weeks. And then I piloted it with my group. Once I got sleep, I like piloted it with my community. And we've had over 3,500 people go through the program where more than 80% will say better sleep, less anxiety, less depression. 92% will have less brain fog, libido improves, pain reduces in their body. And just like all of these magical things can happen when your body shifts into that healing itself state. So that's kind of my journey. I've had three journeys with this. I'm hoping that I won't have too many other journeys with adrenal dysfunction. I now know how to properly support my body, and I've helped lots of people support theirs, and just kind of shared everything that I've kind of done for myself and my clients over the last decade, put together all the pieces for people.
And I know the level of research you go through for your previous books and for this one, and you are very detailed, very thorough, and you're just so good at what you do. And I would say what you're sharing right now is very relatable. I'm sure there are people out there like, yeah, I've done that. I've done that in the pursuit of, you know, climbing the corporate ladder or growing my own business or training for that, you know, event or, you know, marathon or whatever. So I'm sure there are a lot of people that can really feel for what you're saying right now. Now, in terms of adrenal fatigue, I know that if you were to go into, let's say, a conventional doctor, you might be told, well, that's not a real condition. Can you talk more about why that might be?
Absolutely. So when Dr. James Wilson, who's a naturopathic doctor, first kind of wrote the book and coined the term adrenal fatigue, he realized that people had this cluster of symptoms. And it reminded him of like a mild version of Addison's disease, which is an autoimmune disorder. John F. Kennedy actually had it. It's a very rare disorder where 90% of the adrenal glands have been destroyed by the immune system. It's an autoimmune response. And then the person's adrenals physically just cannot produce enough stress hormones and other types of hormones. And this is known as Addison's disease. It can actually be a life-threatening condition. People can unfortunately lose their lives if they're not diagnosed and supplemented properly with the right kind of hormones that their body can no longer make. And typically if a person, so Dr. Wilson kind of thought that these people were having maybe like a low grade version of Addison's where their adrenals were not able to produce hormones, right? And so, you know, people would go typically to their conventional doctors and then say, I have all these symptoms of adrenal fatigue. Can you test me for adrenal issues? And the doctors would say, okay, I tested you. You don't have Addison's, right? And the thing is that adrenal fatigue, the mechanism that the Dr. Wilson originally thought was responsible for it, having, you know, in the last years, we've had so much more advances in the research of what happens. And that's his definition or his thought process behind of what was happening wasn't entirely accurate. So in this adrenal dysfunction, and the really scientific correct term is hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis dysfunction, HPA axis dysfunction. So you'll find a lot of published research on that in PubMed, and it's like a real thing. This is not a disease. It's a condition. It's an adaptation to stress, what the body does when it's can't handle stress. It'll shift into that HPA axis dysfunction. And what it is, it's like the body, the adrenals can still produce the hormones they're supposed to produce in the right amounts at the right times, but they're not doing it. So they're capable. They're not damaged necessarily, but there's a disconnect between the brain, so the hypothalamus and the pituitary, and the adrenals. That bit of a communication breakdown when somebody's been under stress for too long and the brain's been saying make more cortisol, and then some of the receptors, they can become desensitized. And so then the brain's still saying stress, 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 but those receptors are just like, I don't know, should we make more cortisol? Should we not make cortisol? We keep getting the same messages over and over, right? And we really, to kind of get out of that state, we may not need the hormones. Like prescription hormones that people with Addison's will need. Rather, we have to adjust our lifestyle to kind of resync the body with that beautiful circadian cortisol rhythm. We have more cortisol in the morning so we can wake up and have good energy. And then we go on about our day and our cortisol declines so we can get really restful sleep rather than having some of the patterns I see where people have too much cortisol at night, and then they can't sleep and they're wired, right? And tired. And then they don't have enough cortisol in the day. And then they feel like, you know, they're just sluggish and waking up too late or really irritable all day.
And what I'm gathering from you too, is like, we're not here to vilify cortisol either, right? It's a normal hormone. And for everybody listening, we need to understand that you need to have it in the right amounts at the right time. So it's not like cortisol is bad. Right. It's just an important way that Isabella is talking about here, that we have to get it to where it needs to be. And then I would love to understand also, you talk about sending maybe safety signals and helping ourselves feel safe if we want to actually get to a point where we can heal. You mentioned lifestyle changes and things like that. How do we get to the point of sending these safety signals to ourselves?
So one of the first things that I kind of talk about in my book and I talk to my clients about is, what are you doing in your modern life that's letting your body know that you're not safe, right? And people are kind of like, huh, let me think about that. But things like skipping meals and going into a calorie deficit or eating foods that are inflammatory to you and that don't agree with you, if considering that, you know, our genes are from the same genes we had as cavemen, as cave women, like cavemen and cavewomen probably wouldn't be like, you know, fasting and going on low calorie diets to look, you know, good in their cave bikinis or whatever in you know, bikini season, right? So probably that would be a stress signal that they would perceive if there wasn't enough food. It would be because there was a famine. And so their bodies would try to adapt to a famine by switching into that survival mode. So when we're in that survival mode, the body stops fixing itself and building itself up. The body starts to break itself down for fuel to fuel the stress response. And so things like metabolism slow down, we become, you know, we have that sluggish thyroid, our memory suffers, our brain function suffers. And so, you know, things like that we could be doing where we're eating foods that don't agree with us. These are some stress signals when we're skipping meals and we have blood sugar imbalances. These are stress signals. Overworking, over exercising, not getting enough sleep. You know, you do enough of these things, and then you put that on top of like work pressures, deadlines, and stress. And maybe if you've had a history of past trauma that you're carrying around with you, and then you have potentially some chronic infections or some toxins that you're exposed to, you're kind of carrying all these things around, and you end up with this stress bucket that overflows and overwhelms your stress response. And so it's a matter of what are the things that are stressing you can we remove, and how do we send your body a signal of safety to kind of tip the scale? And one of the things, the great thing to start with is blood sugar balance. So making sure you're getting enough protein and fat throughout your day. For some people, I might say, you know, if you've been skipping breakfast for a while and you're finding you're in this state, you actually might need to eat a smoothie for breakfast, right? And then if you're somebody that's getting hangry every few hours and you're having energy issues and mood swings, perhaps you might want to eat every 3 hours, right? And I know that there's reasons and times and places when fasting can be incredibly healing, or eating lower calories can be healing. But when you're in that deprived, overwhelmed state, then part of what you want to do is just, you want to reestablish safety in your body. And you could do that with nutrition. You can do that with getting plenty of rest. You can do that with decommitting. You could also do that with addressing some of the nutritional deficiencies that are present when you're under a lot of stress, and doing various pleasurable activities throughout your day.
And I know you go into this in a lot greater detail in your book, but would you be able to share maybe what are some absolute must avoids, right? If you have adrenal dysfunction or even thyroid issues or Hashimoto's, and what are maybe some things that people can actively be doing, like maybe some specific recommendations that you would make for people?
Definitely. If a person has Hashimoto's and adrenal issues, their digestion is going to be off. And so difficult to digest proteins, gluten, dairy, and soy are some of the biggest offenders. I would recommend getting off of them for 4 weeks, see how your body does. People will oftentimes say that their energy is liberated when they don't have to focus so much on digesting these difficult proteins. We utilize smoothies to help give a person a lot of nutrients. Like, so we do protein and fat, various types of veggies, and you get a whole bunch of nutrients without requiring the, you know, requiring all the energy of digestion to take place. So we start people's days with that. They can be incredibly healing. I do focus a lot on making sure people are aligned with the circadian rhythm. So part of that might look like when you wake up in the morning, you're going to try to step outside to get some sunshine into your eyes so that you can have that cortisol awakening response where your cortisol levels rise naturally. When we're indoors a lot, which is easy to do when you, you know, whether it's kind of crappy or you're working from home, right? And you don't have a dog, you end up with, you know, your body gets kind of disconnected from the circadian rhythm. You're watching TV at nighttime and you're getting all these messages and there's a big disconnect, and we have, you know, too much energy at night, and then we don't have enough throughout the day. So making sure that you're blocking out the blue lights. So there's settings on your phone, there's settings on your computer to go into dark mode. Some people utilize red light, blue light blocking glasses when they watch shows in the evening. And they found that's really helpful for getting more restful sleep so that they have more energy throughout the day. And I have a lot of things that I recommend for people as far as making sure that they are finding the time to do things for themselves and just creating the space for healing. I feel like for women and men in kind of our age, we're in that sandwich generation where we might have children to care for, we might have jobs, and we might have like adult responsibilities. And then we might have even older parents that we need to look after. And when you've got all of these responsibilities and all of these loved ones to care for, we sometimes forget to care for ourselves. And just incorporating into your routine, like, do things you enjoy, do more things that bring you pleasure, that give you that joie de vivre. So that can help you get energized and that can, you know, let you know it's time to be alive and thrive. And sometimes it's interesting because people can do all the things health-wise, but then if they don't have that time of pleasure, whether that's time in nature, connecting with loved ones, having community, that can really keep them stuck in that survival mode if they're just like work, 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 responsibility, 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 right?
I totally understand that. I totally understand.
Hawaii, right?
Yeah, you know, like, and you have to do those things. You have to enjoy the journey, and it's okay to set goals and be ambitious and want to accomplish things and to serve others and to serve your community and all that stuff. But a lot of times I hear people say this all the time is like, I want to be there for other people. Well, the only way to be there for other people is to be there for you now.
Yeah. So I love that.
I think it's really important to take care of ourselves and to make that a priority. Hey, it's Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Bone Coach Show. If you're finding it helpful, please leave a positive rating and review, hit that like button, subscribe to the podcast or the channel. That lets us help more people and reach and serve more people. And it also lets us know that this is helpful to you on your journey to better health and stronger bones. And then also, right down in the show notes, you can actually find a link to my free Bone Healthy Recipes Guide. That's going to give you access to some amazing and delicious recipes to support your journey to stronger bones. And then also, we have a link to my free Stronger Bones Masterclass in the show notes too. And that is the three-step process that has helped people in over 1,500 cities around the world get confident in their plan for stronger bones. Over 110,000 people have taken part in this, and it's been really, really helpful for them. And I want you to have free access to it too. So add your name and email right down there in the show notes, get access to that free Stronger Bones Masterclass, and let's get you confident in your Stronger Bones plan today. And I would love to talk about the people that you worked with that have made this a priority, right? They've come into your programs, they've applied these protocols and things like that for their thyroid, for their adrenals. You know, can you talk about what are some of the specific results that people are getting with your protocol? How long does it take to see benefits? All that stuff.
Well, it's been really incredible because we've had over 3,500 people go through the protocol. I first released it in 2020. And I had been working with adrenal fatigue, adrenal dysfunction, and generally, like, I can get people better, quicker, the more lifestyle things that they do. But still, it kind of took a while to get people well. Sometimes with some of the hormone things, it would take 3 months to 2 years. But like really focusing on that safety, within like 2, 3, sometimes 4 weeks, we'd see a complete transformation. So 92% of the people that, you know, of course there were people that got the program and then like never logged in. Right. So, I can't say that it was like, you know, 3,000 people, but 92% of the people that participated in the program and did the recommendations, they said the brain fog is gone, or the brain fog has significantly improved. More than 80% saw improvements in fatigue, in libido issues, less pain in their bodies, having more joy, having less irritability, having less anxiety, having better sleep. And people, it's amazing, like what happens when people shift into that thriving state. Some of my favorite stories is like, what, you know, people are like, okay, I'm running up and down my stairs, I can clean my house. I used to just be so exhausted with like the day-to-day life, and now I have so much energy. Like, I'm writing a book, I decided to, you know, try this new thing, I'm seeing friends. And it's also fun to see like what their loved ones are saying about them. So people, you know, have been very happy. Like, you know, my partner's so excited about my libido coming back, or my kids have really noticed that I'm just like so much happier and so much more patient. And it is just quite incredible. Like we go through a process with every group to go through and collect stories of what has changed for people. And it's just amazing because there's just dozens and dozens of stories of people's lives like changing within just 3 to 4 weeks. And sometimes it tears me up to like think about that. A lot of these people have been like stuck for like years, sometimes decades. And they think like, they think that they're like anxious people. They think they're like crotchety, mean people that don't have any energy and that like, you know, lost their spark. But like, you can wake it up like within just a short amount of time, and you can, you know, you can be that, like you're meant to feel like relaxed and calm and happy and fit and thriving. And you can be that person. And it just sometimes just makes me really, really tear up with thinking about the people that like, you know, didn't have access to this information for sometimes decades. I'll have women in their 70s that'll say like for the first time in like, I don't even know how long I feel alive. And, it's very humbling, brings me a lot of joy and also sadness for all the suffering that people go through when they're stuck in that survival state.
And especially with, you know, seeing larger volumes of people, like numbers of people come through these programs and their journeys, their stories, their struggles. And then you personally being one of those people that's been through that and can understand that, I think that really allows you to open your heart a little bit more and feel what they're feeling and come from where they're coming from. So definitely a unique perspective. I would love to know, and I'm sure our audience would love to know, where can people find your work?
Sure. So my website is Thyroid Pharmacist. I'm on Instagram under Isabella Wentz PharmD, Facebook under Thyroid Pharmacist, Isabella Wentz. And my books, the Adrenal Transformation Protocol, they can be available wherever books are sold. So Amazon and Barnes and Noble. So I hope to connect with everybody and hopefully I can be of service on your healing journey, help you recover your health so you can feel your best.
I love that. What's your Instagram too? Because Isabella puts out a lot of great stuff on our Instagram too.
It's Isabella Wentz PharmD, but it's IZABELLAWENTZ. So I spell my name with a Z because I'm from Poland.
Yeah. And I think, thank you so much for sharing your IG handle there, because she puts out a lot of great content. And if you're already over on Instagram following me at Bone Coach Kevin, you should just hop on her page and follow her as well. So this has been absolutely a great conversation. I want to thank everybody listening for your time. Isabella, I want to thank you so much for your time. I'm going to link to your book in the show notes, and get this book, check it out. It's just like her previous work that she's done with thyroid health. This is another amazing resource for people. And I definitely encourage you to get the book and to check it out. And then you can find all of the resources, show notes, everything mentioned here today over at bonecoach.com/Isabella Wentz, Adrenal Transformation Protocol. I want to thank you again. We'll see you in the next episode. Hey, it's Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. Hope you found that episode helpful and that you enjoyed it. Just one last reminder, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com, sign up for your free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart. It's going to tell you everything you need to do to start getting on the path to improvement. Hope you found this helpful. I'm your Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. I'll see you soon.